Good morning, everybody. So for those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Jacob Golden. I am wasn't always, which we'll talk about in a little bit here, but I wasn't always a pastor's kid, but I am now. My wife and I, my wife couldn't be with us this morning. Unfortunately, our son, who's six, was running a fever last night. Do I need to move the microphone? I can hear my breathing. That'll drive me nuts. Okay. So my wife and I attended this church for 10 years up until about 3 years ago when we had to move to Redmond. And one of the things that, we prayed real long and hard about was our home church and wanting that to be close to home, especially with young kids. Traveling is no fun, as I'm sure some of you can relate. So, we miss this church. I can tell you it's been good where we're at. We very much enjoy where God has placed us. But by no means, was there ever any friction or any reason like that to leave. That's why I keep coming back. You guys can't get rid of me. So we do miss you guys. Definitely every time I come, I see new faces. Unfortunately, I don't always see everybody that we're used to seeing. Things just change, and it's a tourist town, right? So things change quickly around here.
So your new church, do you tell stories about your old church?
Yeah, yeah. All good ones. All good stories. Yes. They don't have me teaching a ton at the new church, which is probably for the better. This week just happened to be that week where the youth pastor needed a fill-in, and so, the study that I'm giving you guys tonight is not the first time I've given it this week. Although I can tell you, your attention span will be a lot greater than junior hires. So, the version that I gave on Wednesday was quite a bit shorter. So, although we won't be going super long today. So this morning we are in Matthew 7. And we're looking at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to cover a large part of the Sermon on the Mount, but this is really our focus passage for this morning. And to just give you a little bit of background on why this was on my heart to share, that definitely things in our household lately have been interesting. Right, there's a lot of things at work right now. They're challenging us. There's a lot of things in our finances and in our kids and where they're at and their stage. They're just starting school again. So let's just say it's been an interesting last few months. And something that my wife and I have both realized is that we need to take more time to look at our foundation with our kids and where they're at in life right now. They're getting into school, and thank God they're in a decent school, right? But part of that is knowing that coming home, we want that to be their place of their rock, right? Where they can come to, where they can know that mom and dad are going to have something godly to give them, and just know that we stand for what we stand for, right? Joshua, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that kind of thing. So plus, the song that we just sang, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to the lyrics. Sometimes I don't always either. But, this has been one of those songs for me that's been on repeat lately. And it's and the reason why is the lyrics. The bridge, I'll read it to you again. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And this is, it's definitely something that's been very important in my life. And that's part of what I want to share this morning with you guys, is just not saying that I have more experience than folks in the room, right? But that I hope that some of the things that God has taken me through could benefit you this morning in some way. So we're going to just start reading in verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and remember this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, So he's been talking for quite a while now, and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So, I mean, we all know the story, I'm sure. You know, this is a very common passage to go to, and I hope this morning that we can look at it from, a slightly more applicable angle than Sunday school, because Sunday school only scratches the surface, in my opinion. So, wise man builds his house on the rock and it withstands the storm. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. Who would build their house on the sand nowadays? I mean, what's that? A foolish man, right? Yeah, exactly. Somebody who lives on a beach that hopefully wasn't within the hurricane range this year. But this was a little bit more applicable in that day, right? They didn't have the standardized construction that we have today, where you know one of the first things that they're going to be doing on a construction site if they're building in your neighborhood is they're going to be excavating, digging down deep, and laying that cement foundation. We don't often rely on natural rocks anymore. We build our own, so to speak, right? So we build that nice, firm foundation, but back in the day when this was written, you're talking to a people that live in desert climate. Very frequently, you could mistake rock for sand that was hardened, right? So what this mentality is, you know, you don't want to just look at the surface before you start your house, right? You got to test a little bit more than that. You got to dig deeper. And what would happen in those days is, you know, if you were building on hard sand, it might appear firm, but you dig a little bit deeper or you push a little bit harder on that and it moves. And so it's kind of deceiving, right? You feel like you're building in the right place, but then when the winds and the rain come, then you find out it's not. Why are we even talking about this? So give you a little bit more background on me. For those of you that don't know me, and frankly, I don't know that some of you in the room that do know me are going to know most of this story. I probably shared this story with my youth here many, many times over the years, but I don't think anybody in this room has. So if so, you can chime in whenever you want and add to it. But no, I'm kidding. Please don't. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12. I think most people could relate to this if you grew up in the church. I had a drug problem. My parents drug me to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and it was no fun, right? So, sorry, for those of you guys that ever listened to old Chuck tapes, that's an old Chuck Smith joke. I grew up in the church. My parents were worship leaders. My parents were also youth pastors for many years, and I was obligated to go, right? It's the family thing. But I gave my life to the Lord when I was 12 at a summer camp. I have to say, not that it matters any who was speaking at the time, but I have to share with you guys, it was a message that Chuck Smith taught. It was the only message during that summer camp that he taught. And it was really special to me. He taught on the vine and the branch, and the concept of abiding. And it really triggered home with me that it wasn't just about going to church, it was a relationship. And it was that realization. And I must say the fire was really hot in my life for a number of years. But then I can tell you, as many youth that grow up in the church, I went through some hard times. My parents may or may not have shared some of this, but you know, when I was probably 16, 17, 18 was some of the worst. And I rebelled against my parents, but in so doing, I knew what my parents were all about. And in so doing, I also knew that I could not have anything to do with their God, right? So it was a rough time for me.
I did a lot of things that I regret. God spared me from a lot of other things that I could have done. But I will say, this whole concept of what's on your foundation really rings home with me when it comes, when I look back at my life. During that time, when I was away, not attending church, not listening to teachings, not wanting anything to do with that, I built my own life. You know, I started looking at a career. I started going to school, going to college. I ended up getting together with a lady that I ended up getting engaged to, and then ended up breaking it off before we got married. And that relationship was not a pure relationship. And I had all these friends and all these things that I had done in my life to make my life as good as I could make it. You know, and in this picture, I'm shoveling sand onto my foundation, right? I'm basically heaping up all of this stuff that I felt like I could make the best life possible for myself. And when it came down to it, the storm and the winds came. And I think we can all agree that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the storms come. And the winds and the storm came, and it decimated everything that I had built. Everything that I had built. And it crushed me. And I can tell you, and this is really weird, I can't say I've had many experiences like this in my life, but it was 2 months prior to this that I remember having a conversation with God. There weren't many conversations during this time with God. This was one probably that had been a couple of years in the making. And I'm driving in my car, and I'm talking to God, and I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm really happy where I'm at right now. This is a good life. And if you want me back, and I kid you not, I said these words, if you want me back, I don't see any other way. You're going to have to break me. There's no other way. And break me, he did. And it was, as I said, it was an act of mercy, guys, as I'm sure you can understand. Because I did not want to live my life that way long term. You know, the pleasures of the flesh are temporary. And when he broke me, he did it utterly. You know, the one piece of advice I can give you is, no matter what is going on in your heart right now, whatever you're stubborn about, don't let the Lord be the one to break you. You do the breaking. You know, God says, humble yourself. And I'm paraphrasing here, or I will do it for you. You know, there's that mentality that we have, and it never goes away, right? That mentality that we have that I know best. And maybe it's in small areas, maybe it's in large areas, but I know best. And really, the definition of that is pride. And I've talked about that before when I've come and taught, but there's a reason why I tend to, you know, talk about that a lot with youth. Because I know where they're at, and I've been there, and I've made those choices. But that also applies to all of us, right? When I start getting confident in what I can do at home, I stop relying on God. You know what? God, I got this. I'm good. And I stop asking. I stop looking to him. And really, what I'm doing at that point is I'm trusting in that foundation of sand, right? During that time in my life, you know, I kind of described this a little bit, but, you know, I was seeking after things that weren't going to pay off. The world will tell you that money is going to pay off, that friends, success, your career, your fame, if you want to get your name out there, the world's going to tell you to trust in these things. And that is what the world considers as their foundation. How much can I do to get there? And that is what they put their trust into. And what is a foundation but something that we put our trust in, right? That's what we build our house, our treasures on, is our foundation. When we build a home, that's the place we're going to live. That's the place we're going to find shelter. That's the place that we're going to store our goods and our, and that's where we're going to take our family. And why would you ever want to build on things that don't last and aren't of God? Now, I feel like to some degree I'm preaching to the choir here, right? I think we've all been there to some degree, and if we're not, take heed, as Jesus is trying to say here. This is a warning, guys. He's been speaking for a half hour at least. Most scholars believe the Sermon on the Mount was at least that long. So he's been teaching for this long, and he ends it with four different, depending on how you look at it, warnings. And all of them really circle around, don't stop listening. We're going to look at, so Matthew 5:45 is really just one page over for most of you. This is earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. 5:45. And it says here, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. We talked about that storms are going to come no matter what, right? People wonder and ask, you know, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to suffer? And there's no really good answer. There really isn't. Other than to say that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. When I went through my time, I know that God had ordained the timing and the way that he had done it. But ultimately, that was going to happen one way or the other. Sooner or later, there was going to be a trial, and it wasn't, that foundation wasn't going to stand the test. But it's a matter of when. And then real quick, back in chapter 7, notice that in both examples, he starts with, whoever hears these sayings of mine. The thing that changes is who does it and who doesn't do it. So really what I want to call out here is that Jesus is talking to people who are hearing his word. That's you and I, right? He's not talking necessarily about saved, unsaved. I don't think that that really plays into this as much as we want to think it does. Just being here in church, listening, or reading your Bible doesn't make you the man who builds the house on the foundation, right? James talks about this, and I want to turn to James 1. It's a very well-known passage, but very applicable to what we're talking about this morning. So James 1, and we're going to be reading in verse 22. I see Phil back there moving. Okay, so 1:22, and this is James, again, giving similar instruction. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So the point here is that for many years I read this passage and I just assumed that I was the man who built his house on the rock, right? But when I look at this passage deeper, you find that just coming to church, just hearing, just being a part of God's people doesn't make you a doer. And James spends a number of different ways in his book. I love the book of James. The youth and I used to spend a lot of time in there. He has a lot of practical calling out, right? If you say you have faith, then why aren't you doing it, right? There's a great passage in there about faith and works, which has, you know, caused a lot of frustrations for some scholars over the years because, you know, we want to say faith and faith alone. And yes, it is faith and faith alone. But how does that equal into, well, work should be a part of that too. well, works comes from faith. And so that whole struggle of, well, which is it? And the answer is both, right? You can't have one without the other. And that's where this whole doer part comes out. You know, if we're sitting here in church every day, you know, every Sunday, however often we come, I know some of you probably listen to teachings during the week or read your Bible every day. Those are great, great things. But I can tell you, I know of folks that do that, but they walk away unchanged. And how that is possible, you know, I would love to say I don't know, but I've been there. How many years did I sit in church and listen to sermons? How many years did I go to summer camps? And, you know, I gave my life to the Lord, and then years later did what I did. How does that happen? We still have free will. We still have choice. Just because we hear doesn't mean we choose to do. And that's the warning that Jesus is giving us here, is be doers of the word. Right? Just because we hear, just because we come, does not mean that it's changing, that we are making those choices and changing our ways of doing things. One of the pastors that I've been, you know, working with a lot lately, really respect him. He's got a huge emphasis on homework. You know, he'll share a great teaching, and at the end of it, you know, everybody's just like loving what he said. And then he stops the whole train of thought and he's like, all right, now you guys have homework. And you're just like, wait a minute. No, that's, I'm hearing, right? Why do I need to do that? That's too much for me. And every week that I heard this guy, he would give homework. And I love that emphasis because, boy, how many times do we sit and we hear a great message and we go, that was awesome. I love that. That was deep. You know, pastor was on this today, right? But then what does it change? And that idea of homework really struck home with me. You know, hey, I'm guilty of it. How many times did I go home and not do a thing with what I heard? But multiple times in this passage, you know, and in James, do we see God pretty much saying, where's the rubber meet the road? You know, I can talk all day long, right? The Sermon on the Mount was a great teaching. He taught, in some passages, he taught for hours. And some of those people just walked away. They didn't even follow Jesus, right? And so when does it become a good teaching to a life-changing event, right? And part of this is just, I think, and this is just my opinion, not based out of the Word of God, so please don't you know, quote me on this one. But I think part of that is just that whole process of becoming refined. You know, we're going to go through stages, hills and valleys, where we're going to have a bit of an easier time. And it's usually when the storm comes or when we're in those valleys that we realize, hey, I better start doing something. You know, I've been sitting back in the back seat just not doing anything, and it's time for me to get up and move. So be doers of the word. How much of what we take in our time with God do we apply? So the wise man, and this is the example that we want to follow. The wise man prepared. The wise man built on the rock, and when the floods came and the winds came, it withstood the test. And I can tell you part of the destruction that happened in my own life, I call it destruction, decimating. You know, I had to reach a point where I had to make that choice that my life was going to be built on God. And that's why I love that bridge, the verbiage in there. I will build my life on your love. I will build my life on your word. These are things that are worth spending time on. You know, how often do I, you know, miss reading my Bible or miss listening to a teaching and I make time for other things. These are things that are worth spending our time on. When I first came back to the Lord, I was about 19. Don't quote me on the date. I'm a terrible Christian for forgetting. I was about 19 or 20. Came back to the Lord, and again had that fire. But it was in an entirely different way, because before then, it had been, yes, it had been my relationship with God, but I now had a direction and a vision for my life. You know, I didn't know or think that I'd be a pastor, and I'm not today a pastor. I have a career, and I do other things. But I made a decision that day to make my life, make my future about Jesus, about God. And really, you know, it came down to the point, and don't hear me incorrectly here, because I wasn't suicidal. But I did say to God, I don't want my life anymore. I know what I can do with it. And I can't be trusted. But you can. And so it was in a sense, it was a giving up of my own life. But I was not suicidal. And in that moment, you know, I started my own adventure. It was not any longer being fed, it was feeding myself, right? And there's that change when we take ownership of those things. And I was, you know, listening to a study on every lunch break. I was, you know, reading a Bible or praying during every moment that I could find. And while I probably seemed a bit like a hermit during that period of time, because I was, God was rebuilding that foundation. And it came to a moment, and some of you know this about me, I ended up going to Bible college shortly thereafter. It was a few months later that I made that decision to go. And it wasn't because I expected to be a pastor. And folks ask me about it all the time, and still do. Why are you going to Bible college? Why, do you want to be a pastor? And I'm like, well, I don't know, but that's not the point. I went because I knew that God needed to solidify in my heart. And it's not for everyone. And I mentioned that a lot to the youth that I taught here when I was here. And I mentioned it at the youth that I help out with at our current church. I love the concept of Bible college, but it's not for everyone. And for me, God used it as a way to rebuild what had been destroyed. And I wish that I didn't have to go through that. And that's one thing that I preach a lot to youth, is just, you know, learn from my mistake, please, because if you can avoid having to go through that, it's so much easier. Again, that point of, don't let God be the one to break you. You know, he is really good at it. If you can do it yourself, a lot less painful. But when I spent those 2 years, 2.5 years in Bible college, the Lord really did a lot in my heart that I know needed to happen long term. You know, I luckily met my wife in college, which was fun. Once I graduated, I went on staff for 6 months. That was an interesting time because our college had some really strict rules about relationships, and my wife had just recently got together with me, so that was interesting. And then we moved here, immediately got married. It was a bit of a whirlwind, but you know what? The Lord had prepped my heart for that and built that foundation in that time. Now, I had already started the process, and I'm not saying Bible college did the trick. I'm not saying that that's the end-all be-all again. But I am saying that for each and every one of us, we need to spend time on our foundation. And it's maybe not us doing the work, right? If we all have heard teachings like this before, God is doing that work in us. If you're doing the work, then you're piling up sand. I'm telling you that right now. If you're doing the work, you're piling up sand. But giving God that time to work on you is key. So, you know, what's the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? It comes back to that word I used already a few times, is trust. you know, in my first inclination, when I first said, you know what, God, you stay over there, I'll stay over here, we'll both be good. When I reached that point in my life, I was really saying, I don't trust you more than I trust myself. And it comes back to trust. When the winds come and the storm comes, my shelter now, because I put my trust in God, will withstand it. The last few months in our household has been pretty crazy. I don't know how much my parents have shared with you guys, but we looked at moving to Wisconsin at one point. That's a career opportunity that I was pursuing. And we didn't want to move. But I will say, for it was a hard decision to talk through, Sarah and I, and it tested us a lot. You know, what's our priorities? Career, family, church, you know, all these things that I think every family to some degree has to balance and weigh out. And we had both felt like, you know what, if we get this job, we're moving. And that's God's will for our family. And I didn't end up getting it. But I was in limbo for 2 months waiting on answers. And those 2 months were no fun. Coming into work, people ask me, how's things going? Have you heard back? And I will tell you, most people were frustrated about the limbo I was in, because we don't usually wait that long for answers in our company. But at the same time, the God that I serve walked through me throughout this, you know, valley, so to speak, that we were going through. It wasn't easy. We were stressed out at home. I was working a second job, still am. Really busy helping out in our church. Our kids are getting prepped for school. All that kind of stuff going on. And it's chaos, utter chaos. But coming back to the foundation, it was a rock. And it's no reason other than God. But my coworkers don't understand it. How are you able to, you know, still be coming in smiling? How are you able to keep functioning every day like you do? You know, yeah, it was stressful. But my foundation, knowing that no matter what happened or what the decision was, God was going to be behind us. God was going to be with us every step of the way. And that, guys, is the difference between the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on sand. You know, the world has all these flashy lights and great music and, you know, you name it on television, great-looking people. All that stuff fades. You know what? It burns. It destroys. It breaks down. And I think this whole mentality of what the world is seeking after is just dumb. But in the church, we have our own versions of it. And it's sad, but it's true. We have people that want to be wealthy, and that's the name it and claim it movements. And then you've got folks that, you know, say that, you know, hey, if you do this, then you will be blessed. And all these different ways of saying, you know what, you really don't have to trust in God. You really don't have to pay attention to your foundation. And I'm telling you, while my life really changed directions when I was 19, 20. Throughout my life, I've had to maintain my foundation. And I know each and every one of us can relate with that. Don't neglect your foundation. You can stray from, you know, as maybe you can say, you're building an addition in your home, and you can build it with on a sand foundation or however you want to put it. But we can go through times where we don't put our trust in God. And it, almost every time I've regretted it. My prayer and my homework for you guys this week, since I shared that I have to give you guys homework. My homework for you guys this week is find something that God has been knocking on your heart with and make a point to do it. And whether that be speaking to somebody about God that you haven't spoken with before, whether that be putting something out of your life that maybe you know isn't the best for you, God wants to continue to do work in you, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what place your heart is in right now. He wants to continue to work in you. But in order for that to happen, you've got to do something. And my wife hates it when I say this because we fight about this a lot. And if she listens to this, she will kill me. But when we fight, a lot of times she'll say, you know, what she's frustrated about. I'm just frustrated about this. And my answer, and it makes her so mad, and I know it does, but I still say it. Then do something about it. You know, what are you doing about it? What is in your life that's frustrating you, that's, you know, maybe you're worried about? Guys, if you're worried, then that's a sign that God is trying to tell you to give it to him. And I don't know how many times I've found myself worried and then realized, this is nothing in the big scheme of things. Nothing. So find that thing this week. Put a reminder down, whatever it takes, accountability buddy, whatever it takes, but make yourself do it. Because how often do we hear something and do nothing? So that's your homework. It's general and it's vague, not specific. But that's because I want it to be applicable to you guys. Just because I'm also a worship leader and I get to do what I want, I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to end with that song. So I know it's newer for you guys. I know because it's newer for me. But I just want to give you guys a time to sing that to the Lord. And hopefully you can agree that that this speaks to you as well.